that which the Vedantas describe as unmanifest and infallible, which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. Please repeat after me. That which the Vedantas describe as unmanifest and infallible.
That which the Vedantas describe as unmanifest and infallible.
That which is known as a supreme destination.
That which is known as a supreme destination.
That place from which, having attained it.
That place from which, having attained it.
One never returns. That is my supreme abode.
One never returns. That is my supreme abode.
Madhavacharya Prabhu, would you mind reading this purport?
Sure. Okay. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Supreme abode of the personality of Godhead Krishna is described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. Supreme abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There are also trees called desire trees that supply any type of eatable upon demand. And there are cows known as Sarabi cows, which supply a limitless supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, and He is called Govinda, the primal Lord and cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow His flute, Venam Kavantam. His transcendental form is most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of His body is like the color of clouds. He is so attractive that His beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He wears a saffron cloth, a garland around His neck, and a peacock feather in His hair. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of His personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in the Brahma Samhita, Vedic literature's Katha Upanishad 1.3.11. State that there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Godhead, and that abode is the ultimate destination. Purushan na param kinchit sa kashta paramam gati. When one attains to it, he never returns to the material world. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna Himself are non-different. Being of the same quality on this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of the supreme Goloka Vrindavan located in the spiritual sky. When Krishna descended on this earth, He sported on that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising about 84 square miles in the district of Mathura, India.
Thanks, Prabhu. That helps. Okay, so let's just talk about this real quick. Avyaktakshara, these are two qualities of the spiritual world which are being described here. So avyakta is it's manifest, you know, we can't see it with our gross material senses. And kshara, it is, well actually it's akshara. Akshara means infallible. Just one second. Hare Krishna. Now, you remember at the beginning of the chapter 8, Krishna was answering all these questions that Arjuna asked, because Krishna in the previous chapter, at the end, he mentions different names, Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, Adi Atma, and Adi Yajna. So Arjuna says, what is Adi Yajna? Who is the Lord of Sacrifice? And how can one know you at the time of death? And all those kind of questions. So one of them was Adi Bhuta. So what is this material manifestation? So Krishna is really answering it here in detail. So he says it's got these. One of the qualities that the material nature is a kshara. Let me see if I can look up that verse. Kshara. Yes, verse 3 in the beginning of this chapter. So Krishna begins his answering Arjuna's question. The first thing he said, first thing is akshara. That Sri Bhagavan of Aksharang Brahma Paramam Svabhava Jyatmanam Uchate Bhuta
Bhavod Bhadavashurva
Visarga I say, is that the right verse? I'm looking for it. Let me see. The indestructible entity, fruit of activity. No, it's not the verse. Wish I had a memory like some other devotees. Okay. I'm sorry. The next verse. Verse 4. Adibhuta Kshara Bhava. Here we go. Yeah, Adibhuta is the mature manifestation, and it is Kshara. It is constantly changing, which is in contrast to this verse where it says Avyakta Kshara. It is Akshara. It is infallible. So anyway, here's a little hint that Krishna is giving about what the spiritual world is. And Srila Prabhupada is quoting just one verse from the Brahma Samhita describing Krishna's transcendental abode with the Saravi cows and his transcendental flute and, you know, the desire trees and all this. Amazing description. It's interesting how in this verse, Krishna is saying just like in the third person. He says, that which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest. Let me just look at the previous verse. How did that go? No. Just one second, sorry.
20.
Yeah, the next verse, Krishna's going to say, like in the third person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotional service. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading. Everything is situated within him. So it's almost like he's talking about somebody else, which is kind of interesting. And that's kind of will remind us that this is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And I would think it kind of bothered me when I was a younger devotee, like, why is Krishna kind of, you know, talking like that? It's almost like he's talking about somebody else. But if we look at ourselves, we do the same thing in a conversation. Let's say if somebody is addressing me and they say, I really want to know you, just like Arjuna is asking Krishna, and I can say something like, I live on the big island and I'm like kind of a shy person, I don't like to talk too much, etc. And then at some point in the conversation, after I've been talking for a while, I can say something like in the same way, in the third person, like, you know, Ramananda, even though I'm Ramananda, I can say, Ramananda is a person who really likes to live in Hawaii or like by the beaches and really likes nature. And then I can even say something like, the people who really know me, like my wife or something, I can say that they know that I really like to live close to the beach because I hate being cold. It's like that poor circulation. So Krishna, in a similar way, is saying here that which the Vedantists describe as infallible, as supreme, as unmanifested, that is my supreme abode. And then it says, you can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead by unalloyed devotional service. So it's the same kind of thing. He's having this conversation, and sometimes he will switch to the third person. There's nothing wrong with that. That's natural. So in the beginning of this chapter, Krishna answers Arjuna's questions. And one of them is, how can we know you at the time of death? So Krishna is answering how, you know, he can be attained. And he's describing the spiritual world along with that. So when Krishna comes, he comes in his fullness. Similarly, his abode descends with him. So that Vrindavan, Mathura area, which is, what did it say, 64?
84.
84 square miles, a small little bitty area. So that is the spiritual world. You know, it's like Brahma and Indra thought that this insignificant little boy, how could he be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Similarly, we can make the same mistake by seeing the small district, Mathura and Vrindavan, and not understand its glories. Actually, the whole spiritual world is within that small area. So I will try to go on to the next verse. Any comments or questions? All right. Let's see. Let's go on to the next verse. I will chant it by myself. No, actually, you know, it's something I only have a few devotees here. Why don't we just chant it together, if you don't mind? It's text 22. Purushasa pararparta.
Purushasa pararparta.
Bhakya labhyas tvananyaya.
Bhakya labhyas tvananyaya.
Yes. Oh, let's see. Yes. Yanta stana bhutani.
Ya shanta stani bhutani.
Yena sarvam idam tatam.
Yena sarvam idam tatam.
Okay. Just so it can give me a little relief here, would you mind doing the cinnamons and. No, I'm just doing the translation and the purport for me, Prabhu. Would you mind? Madhavacharya Prabhu?
Translation and the.
Yeah, if you don't, wouldn't okay. mind. You okay. don't have to repeat it. Just go ahead and go right straight through.
Okay. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading and everything is situated within him. Report by His Divine Grace, C.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. It is clearly stated that the supreme destination from which there is no return is the abode of Krishna, the Supreme Person. The Brahma Samhita describes supreme abode as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. All the variegatedness manifest there is of the quality of spiritual bliss. Nothing there is material. That variegatedness is expanded as the spiritual expansion of the Supreme Godhead Himself. For the manifestation there is totally of the spiritual energy, as explained in Chapter 7. As far as this material world is concerned, although the Lord is always in His supreme abode, He is nonetheless all pervaded by His material energy. So by His spiritual and material energies, He is present everywhere, both in material and the spiritual universe. Yashanta Stani means that everything is sustained within Him, within early either His spiritual or material energy. The Lord is all pervading by these two energies. To enter Krishna's supreme abode or the innumerable Vaikuntha planets is possible only by bhakti, devotional service, as clearly indicated here by the word bhaktya. No other process can help one attain that supreme abode. The Vedas, Gopal Tapani Upanishad 3.2, also describe supreme abode and the supreme personality of Godhead. Eko vasi sava ga Krishna. In that supreme abode, there is only one supreme personality of Godhead, whose name is Krishna. He is the supreme merciful deity. And although situated there as one, he has expanded himself into millions and millions of plenary expansions. The Vedas compare the Lord to a tree standing still, yet bearing many varieties of fruits, flowers, and changing leaves. The plenary expansions of the Lord who preside over the Vaikuntha planets are four-armed, and they are known as by a variety of names, Purushottama, Trivikram, Keshava, Madhava, Aniruddha, Rishikesh, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Sridhar, Vasudev, Damodar, Janardhan, Vaman, and Padmanabha. Brahma Samhita 5.37 also confirms that although the Lord is always in the supreme abode, Goloka Vrindavan, He is all-pervading, so that everything is going on nicely. Goloka Eva Nivashati Akilatma Bhuta. As stated in the Vedas, Vetasvara Upanishad, Parasya Shaktir Vijayava Shuryate Sabha Viki Jana Bala Kriyacha. His energies are so expansive that they systematically conduct everything in the cosmic manifestation without a flaw, although the Supreme Lord is far, far away.
Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, so we have a few minutes left. I'll just go over this really quickly. So, Purushasa Parapartha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is greater than the greatest, and then Bhakti Labhyas Tvananyaya. Now, Anyaya means without cessation, without break. What does it mean? Ananya.
Unalloyed.
Unalloyed, undeviated. There you go. Unalloyed, undeviated. Now let's look two verses previously. Let me see. Prastas matu bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktatsanatana. Yes, look here. Parastas matu bhavo nyo. But there's another nature beyond this material nature, which is anya. So anya is another. So he says ananya means there is no other. It's undeviated, unbroken. So different than anything that we find in this material world is ananya. So unalloyed or undeviating. So in order to attain that supreme person, we have to have ananya labhayas bhakti, or sincere desire to attain devotional service without a break. And then yashyanta stani bhutani yena sarvam idam tutam. So yashyanta sarva bhutani. So even though he is all pervading, yena sarvam idam tutam, he is situated in one place. So there is all this description here from the Brahma Samhita, from various Upanishads. A nice example is given about the tree. So the tree is situated in one place, stani. Yet it produces many byproducts. It produces fruits and flowers and different types of leaves. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also compared to the sun. The sun is situated one place, localized, but yet from the diffusion of its rays, its energies, it's spread all over the universe. The Personality of Godhead is always in Goloka Vrindavan. There's this verse here, Goloka eva nivasyakilatma bhuto. He is always situated in Goloka Vrindavan. He never goes a step outside of Vrindavan. Yet, he's all pervading by his different energies. And it mentions all these different expansions of the Lord in all the Vaikuntha planets. So both in the material world and the spiritual world, Krishna, by his energies, personal energies, he's pervaded everything. And then there's this wonderful verse which is often quoted from the Svetasvatara Upanishad, Parasha Shaktir Vividaya Shruyate, that Krishna's energies, his Shaktis, are multifarious. You cannot count them. They're beyond number. And then they have this quality of being Swa Bhavaki Gyana Bala Kriya Cha. What that means, when you put all that together, is that his energies are so wonderful that without any exertion, everything happens automatically. Just like for us living entities, conditioned souls, or small jivas, anything that we want to do has got so many flaws. It takes such endeavor, and it's never perfect. But with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever he does without any endeavor. It goes on automatically. There's the instance in the Krishna book where it describes when Agasura was manifesting himself and all the boys went into his mouth. And then before Krishna entered into the mouth of the Agasura demon, he was just thinking, you know, how wonderful is my material energy? How did it produce this thing? So he doesn't have to think about it. He can just be absorbed in his lila, and then his energies are so wonderful that it just happens automatically. So I don't want to confuse the point too much, but this Jnana Bala Kriya, which is mentioned in the Svetasvatara Upanishad, it has a direct parallel to what Krishna mentions at the beginning of this chapter, answering Krishna's questions about Adi Daiva, Adi Bhuta, and Adi Yatma. And that, if anybody ever wants to look it up, it's in the second canto, chapter 5, conversation between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni, where it's explained about it. And I just wanted to read one paragraph. It's very deep, but illuminating. Actually, I'm going to read two sentences from verse 2519. The translation was Karya Karana Kartitve Dravya Jnana Kriya Shaya. So that Dravya is the same as Bala. So here it says Bala Kriya Cha. So Dravya is like Bala and Jnana Kriya Shaktis. So the translation is these three modes of material nature being further manifested as matter, knowledge, and activities put the eternal living entity under conditions of cause and effect and make him responsible for such activities. In the purport, it is explained that by the covering power of the material energy, the material scientist cannot look beyond the material cause, but factually behind the material manifestations there are Adibhuta, Adiatma, and Adidaiva actions which the conditioned soul in the mode of ignorance cannot see. The Adi Bhuta manifestation entails a repetition of birth and death with old age and disease. The Adi Atma manifestation conditions the spirit soul, and the Adi Daiva manifestation is the controlling system. So just to remind everybody, at the beginning of this chapter, Krishna explained that Adi Daiva, which means, you know, the demigods, right? Adi Daiva. So Adi Daiva, he described as a universal form of the Lord. It's that which keeps the conditioned soul within this controlling system. And then he said Adi Bhuta, that is the material manifestation, which is described here as the manifestation that entails repetition of birth and death, old age and disease. And then the Adi Atmas and Jivas, the indestructible living entities, Brahman, which is described here as the conditions the spirit soul to this material nature. So, interesting stuff. And then, in the next verse, this is 2.5, not the next verse, that was 2.5.19, so five verses after that, 2.5.24, I'll just read the last part of the verse. It's six lines, but it ends in Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Iti Prabho. And the translation is the self-centered, egotist, materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. In three divisions, namely the powers that evolve matter, which would be Kriya Shakti, knowledge of material creations, which would be Jnana Shakti, and then the intelligence that guides the materialistic activities. Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Jnana Shakti. Narada, you are quite confident to understand this. So in the purport, just read two more sentences here. The mode of goodness or the Brahminical culture recommended in the Vedic literature is helpful to such spiritual realization, and thus the Jnana Shakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the other two stages, namely Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti. The whole material civilization is manifested by a huge accumulation of materials, or in other words, raw materials for industrial purposes and the industrial enterprises. So Kriya Shakti, in other words, activities. And all, this is all due to gross ignorance of spiritual life. And that refers to, you know, Jnana Shakti, because you're, first of all, there's a mode of goodness, mixes with the mode of passion, Kriya Shakti, and then it becomes contaminated. So in order to rectify this great anomaly of materialistic civilization based on the principles of Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti, one has to adopt the process of devotional service to the Lord by adoption of the principles of Karma Yoga, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Etc. Okay, so I know I packed in a lot there. That was two substantial purports, two very important verses from the Bhagavad Gita. I hope that last part didn't confuse people more than it did answer questions. But it's just that it's interesting to see that Bala Kriya Cha, that is the same thing that's paralleled in the beginning of this chapter, which Krishna is wrapping up here towards the end of the chapter. All right. Right now, I went over almost 10 minutes so far. We got a little late start here. Any comments or questions? Okay. All right. Well, if there's no comments or questions, it's always purifying to read and hear Bhagavad Gita. So I thank you for staying here and listening.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad you gave class.
Okay. All right. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Bhagavad Prabhupada.
All right.
Bhagavad Gita.
Hi.
Krishna.